Better late than never here. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Someone turn back my watch. Ooh, they're going to get it. I'm late, but you are tuned to Bathroom Spears Broadsides, 96.3 FM. The April Fool's Day edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides here in beautiful Santa Cruz, California. We've got stuff coming up for you, some of which you probably heard the like before, some of which you might not have. We're going to focus on aftermath of the sleeping van debacle, and we're going to run into a few new topics, particularly the ongoing bombing in Serbia. We've contacted a Serbian who spoke with us last night, an interview with Draghi, who also spoke to Vinny, the V-Man, on his show last night, and maybe listening to our show to call in to give you a balance from the onslaught of propaganda justifying bombing and increased military intervention in Serbia. What does all this have to do with homeless people? Well, those bombs are certainly making more people homeless, aren't they? So what happened? You say you got kicked out of the armory?
Yeah, my brother got kicked out of the armory and the day center. Sugar accused him of fixing narcotics on the lot, which he wasn't. Uh-huh. He was sleeping, and then all at once he got told that we have to leave the lot, so now we have to camp out. And it's been going on now 2 weeks now.
How do you account for the fact that she made this claim? What was the reason?
Well, here up her ass, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, because she's kicking a lot of people out of there.
So how many others would you estimate conservatively that she's kicked out?
Probably at least 10 or 11.
And what are the reasons that they get excluded?
For drinking, or she accused them of drinking or smoking marijuana or something like that, and which she does herself.
Not on duty, I assume.
I know for a fact she pops pills during business hours.
And how do you know that?
Because she's asked my brother for some pills when he was kicking heroin.
And what pills did she look for?
I don't remember the name of them right offhand. But she asks a couple other people for to help her sleep, pills to help her sleep at night at the armory.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the name of them.
Actually, I heard a story about that as well.
Yes, it's true. It's very true.
There was something about going to the front of the line.
Yes.
What was that story?
If you turn her on to something, you can get on the bus first. If you helped her out or give her a couple of dollars, you can get on the armory bus first. It's whatever. You know, I don't think it's right. I think she shouldn't be there. You know, she's no better than any of us being homeless. And then she has to kick us out when we don't have nowhere to sleep. Now we're back up in the woods now.
And how long have you been out?
2 weeks.
And how is that?
I hate it. I hate it with a passion because we have to be alert every night.
Because?
You're getting cops or the rangers. We're really scared.
What about the people who were the troll busters? Has that been happening much?
I haven't heard. They haven't bothered us yet. But I know there's two out here. We got a report that there was three of them was caught there at the bay.
Oh, really?
But I don't know.
Huh. When did you hear that?
Last week.
Huh.
Coffee would know. She's the one that reported three of them.
Coffee is?
The girl, Coffee. So that's her street name.
Okay.
She would know.
And, again, we were talking to JJ. Thank you. Anything more you want to add?
No, that's plenty.
Talking to Dan Cooper, who both works for the Sentinel and also organizes signature gatherers for different initiative drives. Dan, you say that one of your men, Dennis, was beaten by three Hispanic youths?
Yeah, he had gone to a show at Palookaville on a Wednesday. Actually, this was a Thursday morning, very early. His show was over around 2, and he was walking towards where he lives, and three Hispanic fellows followed him for a while and then approached him and asked him for his money, and he handed his money, being a very nice fellow and peaceable and not wanting to cause trouble, et cetera, et cetera. And then they proceeded to beat the living tar out of him. They 3 weeks later, he calls me and to tell me about it, and he says, well, after 3 weeks, my face no longer looks like a pizza. The sores were healing from his beating, and we talked about he told me about his broken arm. It's broken in three places where they were kicking him in the groin, and in order to protect himself, he put his arm there. And his kicks, the kicks of those fellas had broken his arm and re-broke his other arm, which had been broken in previously. So he was kind of a mess. And it, why you mentioned Sentinel is because I and the other Sentinel people who deliver the Sentinel first have to fold the papers, and we're doing that over at the parking garage near the Theater 9 here. Especially when it rains, to get out of the rain and fold our papers before we go out and deliver them. And this is around the same time period that this beating took place, in about the same location.
The police department also told you that there were Hispanic gangs coming in from Salinas?
In talking with the various people who are concerned with enforcement for public safety and that sort of thing on the Pacific Avenue, and that includes the information people and some police officers, that they've said that they're aware of that there's some fellas that come from Salinas or Watsonville and come up here to
kick a little ass.
How do you say this? But Dennis said that these fellows were very sadistic. They didn't really care that he had given them the money. They didn't want the money. They just wanted to womp butt, I guess you could say. I had an experience a year before that, and that was I'm not sure if it's the same guys or what, but these three Hispanic fellows were had in their midst two young gals, had to be no more than 16, and I was sitting in my car there over on near the food court on Front Street, I guess it is over there, and I overheard them saying, "But you promised to take me home, you promised, you know," and after about listening to this for about 20 minutes, I made my presence known. I came over and said, is there any problems here? And that allowed the gals to escape from these guys' clutches.
Cool.
Yeah,
so,
So I didn't know where these guys came from, but they were definitely predatory in nature. They were preying on these young girls who come and hang out at the Metro because it's cool, you know.
Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This song is just called Happy.
Go for it. And the musician, of course, is Randy Hale.
Randy Hale, at your service.
Go, Randy.
Happy John Dine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea. Down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Happy and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy, sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly, loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s, didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes and doing the happy bop, when a bullet entered his chest, came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And I guess the police are happy, sadness is here to stay. Now people like Happy, I do believe, heaven is great, great spirits. You know, like whatever you got here, less of, you got more there. Could happen. So I think he's up there, I think he's looking down, and he's probably saying, hey man, right on, I know you, power to the people. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy, sadness is here to stay. Yeah, I guess the police are happy, sadness is here to stay.
And that was Randy Hale and his rendition of his own work, Happy, about Happy John Dine, the homeless activist, not because he was homeless at the time, but because he supported the rights of homeless people, who was shot by Officer Connor Carey in the company of Officer Martin Over in November of 1997, in a case that still has not been properly or independently investigated. We're still waiting for all those wonderful new appointees at the Citizens Police Review Board, appointees of our new council members, to take some action on this matter, reopen the issue. And it's April. That's almost 6 months after the election, certainly 5 months, almost six. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrop's Pierre Robert, or Robert Norris, as many people know me by, or Robert Norris Kahn, if you like my family name. I've kind of taken a variety of names in my life. Norris has been my pen name. It's the name I usually go by, and Bathrobe Spear is the name I use at protest demonstrations because of the rather tattered bathrobe, but I've gotten a couple of new ones, they don't fit too well, that I use in order to dramatize the crazy laws that criminalize homeless people and that really show us where the war on the poor is going. A lot of the things we talk about on the show, a lot of the interviews I play, concern that subject. And the call-in number, if you want to join in this debate, this discussion, this dialogue, is 427-3772. 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. If you want to reach me off-air, there are folks standing by at the Huff line. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, Huff. And the number, of course, is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, easy to call and easy to talk. And we really would like to have you on the air, though, if you've got some reactions to what we're talking about, some new information to provide, maybe some opposing opinion. We're going to be playing some opposing opinion later, because as those of you who listen regularly probably know, Councilmember Mike Rotkin will be our in-studio guest, along with that hard-hitting regular David Silva of the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban. And they're going to be debating the sleeping ban. That'll be happening a week from today here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Rotkin, I said he'll come in at 6:30, and Silva will be there to greet him. I will be keeping these two heavyweights apart, trying to make sure that they don't cross the line. We'll have this a fair fight, and there will be plenty of time for folks to call in. That will probably limit callers in time, because I'm hoping that this can be a well-publicized event that really gets to some of the issues around the sleeping ban. We'll talk more about that. But first, let's refer back to some of the interviews we've just heard, some of them from the Homeless Services Center, on the issue of what's colloquially called troll busting, the beating of homeless people for sport, usually by upper-middle-class people. Now, you heard one person, Dan Cooper, talk about one of his workers being beaten by Hispanic folks from out of town. And indeed, it's not been clear who has been preying on homeless people, whether one group, two groups, three groups, multicolored groups. I'm always a little wary when I hear that out-of-town agitators are responsible, that our good white boys here in town just, you know, wouldn't be caught dead anywhere near homeless people engaging in any kind of violent activity. Nor do I think we should jump to the conclusion that it's necessarily the rich sons of police officers, who mostly aren't rich anyway. There have been kind of a series of stories we've had following this, beatings of 6 to 12 people or 6 to 12 instances of beating in the last couple of months, often at the loading dock out near the Sash Mill area where people have been sleeping, or the UPS yard, the former UPS yard up Highway 9. And we've gotten numerous reports. Steve Argue reported about a month ago that the homeless people, when they caught people with Trollbuster t-shirts breaking into a car where there was a homeless woman, sort of administered a little curbside justice. But again, no confirmation on that story. And then we had this other story you just heard today of folks who raided a camp but were, given their comeuppance. I unfortunately have an additional story to add to all this. Apparently, we don't know the racial component of the folks involved, whether it's white, black, or Hispanic, or something else, or yellow, meaning like yellow as in lacking courage. But a man came to Becky Johnson's door the other day with both his eyes blacked out, apparently rib fractured, finger broken, and he had been beaten. And here is his story coming up. Okay, it's around 1 o'clock. We're in front of Becky Johnson's house, and we're talking to
Mark.
And Mark, you look like somebody beat the shit out of you. You got bruised eyes, but what happened?
Well, I was walking down the street about 11 o'clock at night on I don't know the name of the street, but it's the one in Capitola that goes out to the ocean, and then
41st.
It's past 41st, and it goes behind.
Okay.
There's a trailer on the corner of Soquel, stuck on, like a trailer wall.
It's about what time of night?
Around 11, 10, 11,
and something. When was this? What day?
Today's Wednesday.
Today is Tuesday.
Yeah, so that was probably maybe Saturday night.
Okay.
Either Saturday, I think it might have been Saturday night, and I was walking down the street, and these guys kind of just came out of this parking lot and started walking with me and looking at me and, looking at the pavement.
How many were there?
There's three of them.
And they were about what age?
I didn't pay much attention. I just tried to, they started walking with me, so I just turned around and walked the other way. They turned around and started walking with me that way. So I turned around again, and they turned and started walking with me again, and they kept... But they weren't saying anything, I don't know what they were doing.
You notice they were white or Hispanic, or?
I think they were white. I didn't pay much attention. I tried to just keep to myself, and, you know, I figured, well, if they're going this way, I'll go this way. So I did that twice, and then they kept going with me. I thought, uh-oh, you know, this isn't real great. So then there's a road that goes down, and the road I was on, the next road down, is called Soquel Village.
Not sure, because I'm not sure where you were, but...
Well, Soquel Village is...
You were heading towards Soquel Village? Or?
Yeah, I went down that road.
Towards Soquel Village.
Yeah, and then this one guy took a swing at me, so I ducked, and then the other guy kicked me in the...
Kicked you?
And the face, and so then they all started.
Then what?
Then they all just used me for a football. Because I went down when he kicked me, and they just all kicked the hell out of me.
And then what happened?
Well, that was it. I started yelling for help, and then he split.
Did you call the police?
No. I don't really want to do that, because I'm going to end up back in jail, and then I'm going to have enemies. I might still have enemies because they did that, but I don't know enough anyway, anything to tell them, because I didn't pay any attention to what they looked like.
These guys look well-dressed, or...?
No, they were wearing, like, black pants and black T-shirts. And they had steel-toed boots.
You had what?
Steel-toed boots.
Do you think they were, like, looking for people to rough up?
I don't know. No, well, I didn't get that impression, because they didn't just jump out and jump me.
They kind of stalk you.
Well, I don't understand it. I just thought maybe these are the guys that were doing that down there.
Control busting.
Once they got started, it seemed like maybe they were the guys that... I may be two different situations, too. I might be wrong, but...
Did they say anything as they beat you?
Nobody ever said anything. If they said something, I might understand why they did it. Because I wasn't... I mean, they didn't do it to rob me. I didn't have any drugs. And I wasn't doing something to them. But... Maybe they just don't like homeless people or something. I don't know. I didn't have any idea.
Were you lying on the ground after for some time? What happened? What did you do afterwards?
I jumped up and got out of there. I didn't actually jump, but I got up, got out of there.
Did they leave first before?
Or? Yeah, they went back up the road that I was ran into them on.
Did you lose consciousness?
No, not totally. I was real dizzy and you know, my head was real, it felt like it was going to explode, but I didn't lose consciousness.
And they didn't say anything as they were kicking you?
No, nobody ever said anything. I don't know.
Did it seem to be kind of professionally done? Did they seem like, you know, they were letting off emotion, or were they just kind of like doing a job? Any feeling on that?
No, I don't know. Once they got started, I thought, man, these guys are, you know, I felt like maybe they were professionals or they'd done it before. That's why I thought maybe they're the ones that went down there doing that. But when they first started walking with me, I didn't get the impression that they were going to bother me. You know, or maybe I would have tried to run it or something. I guess I'm kind of dumb. I usually don't run. I don't...
Well, I don't know. What I do in these circumstances, if somebody's following me, if they start getting hostile, is I move to the middle of the street and start shouting loudly. That's my approach, but, you know, to stop cars. Any cars come by during this time?
No, there weren't any cars and no people. Actually, that's why I sort of hang out up there, because it's real quiet up there, you know, but now I'm afraid to go back up there.
Have you been sleeping in the area there?
Well, yeah, I've been staying up in that area. I know I don't actually sleep there, but I go up there and I collect cans and hang out over by, there's a park down there, it's real quiet. And Soquel Village is a real mellow people, you know, there's like four churches and there's only about 2,000 people, you know, it's a real mellow area.
Do other folks who are without lodging generally use the same area to do similar things like gather cans or seek, you know, shelter, just socialize?
Yeah, well, there's a few people down there, but not a whole bunch. It's just a quiet community. I don't actually stay there. I just go through there like once or like maybe every other day and collect cans. And there's about seven dumpsters. Hit the dumpsters, and then I go over on the other side of the bridge to Capitola and do Capitola.
Are you, are there warrants out for you that you know of?
Are there warrants for me?
Right.
Well, I have, now that you mention it, I have bicycle warrants.
Uh-huh. And so you would be reluctant to report this to the police for that reason, too?
No, they stopped me the other night, and I showed them my head, and they know I have the warrants. They're just riding a bike without a light.
And you spoke to police officers about this at some point?
Yeah.
And was it Capitola or Santa Cruz police?
Santa Cruz.
You remember the name of the officer you talked to?
Uh-uh. I didn't ask him his name.
Did he express an interest in it? Was he concerned about your well-being?
Well, they wanted to take me to the hospital, but I told them I don't have any insurance and I don't have any way to pay the bill, so I didn't want to, I have an idea it'd be a pretty high costing bill, and I didn't want to,
So then
I figured I would end up having to go back to jail for that bill, I don't know what they do. What do they do if you go to the hospital?
I think general, if it's some emergency, I don't know if you have to pay the bill or not. Becky, do you know?
Well, it depends on your income level. If your income is low enough to qualify, you can apply for Medi-Cal, at the time or even after you've been treated.
So you didn't? Would you like to be taken to the hospital and so you can actually get the injuries treated?
Well, I was thinking I should go see, because my finger I think also is broken.
You're pointing to a finger on your left, on your right hand, your little finger.
Yeah.
I think your finger is broken and
it sure feels like it.
Yeah, it's got a really kind of strange shape to it. It's not.
I don't know. Maybe it's popped out of joint there, but it's all swollen up. I had a ring on. I had my friend cut it off for me because it was real tight.
If you were to describe your injuries, where were you injured in this beating?
Did you see his head?
Yes. I mean, I see your eyes. Your eyes are black.
No, but the top of his head. Look at this. Where it's all just, the blood is all caked there on the top of his head, on the crown.
I think it's important.
Uh-huh.
Well,
are you having any other kinds of symptoms of concussion, like dizziness or nausea, blurred vision?
My vision's okay, but I've been getting dizzy really easy. I thought it might be because of the loss of blood.
Headaches?
And headaches, yeah.
Any other part of your body?
Yeah, I have some ribs that are, I don't know exactly what they are, but it's real
injured. If you swollen, maybe fractured or broken.
Possibly, yeah. It's hard. It's real. I can't rest at night. I can't lay down because it's just, I know something's wrong. I don't know if it cracked or broke or what, but I know my ribs are damaged.
Has this happened to anyone else recently?
Well, a friend of mine told me about some guys on the railroad tracks, but that's down, way down that way. So I just felt secure up there. That's why this kind of threw me off. I didn't know what to, all the kids up there always treat me great, So this just
comes out of the blue. How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Since 91.
And where are you from originally?
I never had any problems. Well, I came here from, I was in San Jose looking for work, and I came over here, and then I went to San Francisco, and then I went to Watsonville, and I came back here. And I've been staying here because it's fairly, fairly safe. I like, basically, I like the country,
What kind of work do you do, Mark?
Well, I do, I was looking for, labor-type work. Something that I could, work today and get paid that day. And I thought maybe they might have something in Watsonville, like work in the fields. But they all said, well, if you don't speak Spanish, we can't hire you. So, well, if you tell me something, I can understand what you're saying, but I can't speak the language. And they said, no, you gotta speak fluent Spanish to get a job here. So, I didn't know what to,
Thank you, Mark. And that was interview Tuesday, 2 days ago, with a man beaten apparently, if his account is to be believed, probably because of the way he looked and the kind of status he had. That is to say, it was a hate crime against him for being a homeless-looking person. The aftermath of this was that Becky Johnson sort of pinch-hitted. She moved in and helped out, and we got him to a doctor who looked at him briefly and contacted Dominican. He was taken to Dominican, where I guess 6 or 7 hours later, after numerous x-rays and CAT scans and treatment, he was able to secure a late-night room in a motel with a voucher, compliments of Paul Brindell and the Shelter Project. Hats off to all these people doing this, but as you know, or as you can hear from his testimony, he didn't go for immediate treatment. He was afraid to do that, and I think that's a fear shared by numerous homeless people, and it really strikes me as a kind of a bizarre and frightening situation, and also a kind of a disgusting situation. We have a city council which is literally ignoring reports like this of people getting beaten and not taking action to set up a safe sleeping zone, an emergency area where people could go at night to be free so they don't have to walk the road at night. You know, you're not supposed to be sleeping after 11 o'clock at night if you want to be technically legal. You're not supposed to be covering up with blankets. You're not supposed to be, in essence. I guess you can be awake from 11 to 8:30. Thanks to our marvelous city councils at 3 months of discussions and liberal measures. And it's just outrageous that the council is not protecting the basic rights of poor people in this community. It's, to me, it's should be the basis for a significant lawsuit if anyone had the money, if anyone had the legal power. And indeed, there is a group called Lawyers Against the Sleeping Ban that's looking for cases to take in federal court where the issue, at least in our jurisdiction, has never really been looked at. Our Santa Cruz sleeping ban and blanket ban ordinances have never been looked at. But just while this is happening, to hear these political double talk, the kind of rhetoric you get from even liberals like Chris Krohn or Keith Sugar, who just are not prepared to stand up and say, look, people have got to have a safe place to sleep, and I'm not going to stop saying so until they get a safe place to sleep. And if we had one person with courage who'd said that for the last 3 months, we would have a suspension of the sleeping ban. And apropos of that, that is to say, with respect to that, we have a meeting tonight of the Green Party. The Green Party is meeting at 7 o'clock, that's in half an hour, at Cabrillo College, room 429C, for those of you who want to check it out. They have a monthly meeting. And as you may or may not know, Tim Fitzmaurice, one of the three new council members, who came in on a platform of decriminalizing homelessness and restoring civil rights for homeless people and disenfranchised groups, will hopefully be called on the carpet. It looks like that a number of people are going to present a resolution urging a censure of Timothy Fitzmaurice for, well, there's sort of a long statement here, but what it boils down to is not taking significant action on the sleeping ban and indeed limiting the action that was taken. It was at Fitzmaurice's amendment that the motion to allow people to sleep in driveways was reduced to only 3 days per month. So now on April 23rd, when the new law, the amendments to the old law come into effect, I suppose we should call it a new law, it will be legal to sleep in someone's driveway in a vehicle for only 3 days out of the month with the permission of both the tenant and the landlord, and I believe also it can't be in violation of any neighborhood compacts or covenants. And I'm not quite sure about the last, how broadly that extends. But it was Fitzmaurice that put on the three-day limit. This is Fitzmaurice, the great green, Fitzmaurice, the great liberal. And if Fitzmaurice is listening in, I encourage him to call. He's never called this show. He's never said a word about shelter for homeless people at City Council in the last 3.5 or 4 months. And he knows, as well as anyone does, and he should know better, because he's a City Council member, that as of last night, with the armory closing, they're sheltered for less than 5% of the homeless community. The rest of them are out there illegally at night. They can't even go to sleep. They can't even lie down under a bush without facing the threat of arrest, tickets, or somebody's steel-toed boots in their ribs. So, as I said, at 7 o'clock tonight, Green Party will be at least be presented with a censure motion because of Fitzmaurice's... Well, here's the statement. This is, I think, written by Nick Whitehead and seconded by Becky Johnson, perhaps also by David Silva, though I'm not sure about that. While we are pleased that you, Tim Fitzmaurice, supported the reduction of sleeping offenses to an infraction and helped bring in other constructive steps, we have to note the following dissatisfaction. Complaints have arisen regarding your social approach and final recommendations on homeless residents' rights to sleep in a secure place. Specifically, it is felt the following actions did not fit with the known positions of the Green Party. A, narrowing the vehicle sleeping on private property with owner's permission to 72 hours a month on the arbitrary basis that such mutual arrangements should conform to existing street parking ordinance. And there's more, but it's fundamentally that. And then there was a media statement Fitzmaurice made that local householders felt intimidated against freely speaking their views to a city council panel. Actually, one can say anything one wants, and I was a little unnerved that Fitzmaurice's interpretation essentially was seemed to be cheerleading for the rights of the bigots to not so much to speak. Everybody has a right to speak, they did speak, but not to have their bigoted speech responded to by people who are outraged. And they didn't shut up the bigots. They just said, you know, ridiculous or bullshit, and that didn't stop people from speaking. But I guess Fitzmaurice was concerned that the more conservative and paranoid elements of the community, the more timid elements of the community, would not come or would not speak in forums because other people were not sitting on their hands, wearing big smiles on their faces, and keeping their mouths shut. And this approach by Fitzmaurice continued at the last city council meeting to the point where he actually seemed to call for censoring the audience. When one man essentially referred to homeless people as a sort of a criminal population that included child molesters and so forth, and when someone in the audience, you know, expressed some rage or humor at that, not cutting the person off, not stopping him from speaking, but just expressing exasperation, as people in the audience will do in a democratic forum. Remember that, Tim Fitzmaurice? Democratic forum. He actually called for the mayor Byers to do some censoring here, and Byers did. For the first time in any city council meeting, at the Tuesday city council meeting on March 23rd, Byers threatened to have me arrested for, I think, groaning, or was it? I'm not sure if it was Rotkin who made a lengthy statement and referred to me by name, and I interrupted that. I don't recall exactly what it was, but what had been since through the reign of Celia Scott, a policy of when the chair, if it doesn't like what the audience is doing, tells them to pipe down, and we tend to pipe down. But they don't threaten to arrest us, and that's what now Byers is beginning to do. And it isn't because of any violence from the audience or anything of that sort. I think it's because she's decided that she's had enough of the criticism that she's been getting. And now she's getting people like Fitzmaurice. Well, I don't know if she's getting him. I think he's taking this position on his own. He's taking the position that he would rather protect the, not just the right of a bigot to speak. I protect that. I support that right. But the right of a bigot to make sure that nobody says a word after he's spoken that could be construed as outrage or humor or disbelief, whatever. And that, to me, is a violation of the First Amendment. And I think that that is one of the bases on which this Green Party should censure him. And I have invited my program manager to call Tim Fitzmaurice and invite him to listen in and call into the show and present his point of view. I had a kind of a stiff argument with him at the break for what he did. And he seemed to feel he was doing just the right thing and supporting the rights of conservative people in the community to speak. And I've got no problem with that, but I also noted that he had no real interest in protecting the rights of poor people to sleep. And that, again, this incredible focus on the sensibilities of bourgeois people with big houses while you're voting down the rights of poor people with nothing just has to be noted. It really has to be noted, particularly if you're claiming the mantle of the Green Party. And for those of you who are interested, the Green Party, again, is meeting out at Cabrillo College, 7 p.m., 429C, Cabrillo College, tonight. Also at 7 o'clock, for those of you who are near a TV and have cable, Club Cruz is doing a show on domestic violence in Santa Cruz County. That's going to have two domestic violence survivors who volunteer at the Walnut Avenue Women's Center and the unstoppable Becky Johnson, who's doing yet another show. A lot of people are made homeless, particularly women, out of domestic violence situations. And the city council, of course, which babbles on about potential shelter down the road, at least that's Mike Rotkin's line, all it has done as far as potential shelter goes, it says you can park in a, you can sleep in a vehicle for 72 hours out of every month, and you can also find, you can find a business that will put you up in their parking lot that can put two vehicles up in their parking lot if they choose to do so. But if you haven't got a car, kiss your ass, your sleep, your sanity, your safety, goodbye. Because in Santa Cruz, it is illegal for 500 to 1,500 people to sleep at night. And the armory is closing, not just, of course, here in Santa Cruz, the winter shelter that provided shelter for 100 to 150 people here in Santa Cruz and more in other jurisdictions, but it's closing everywhere throughout the state, Sacramento, Santa Barbara, San Diego. And we have reports from different places of people who are facing, well, shelterlessness in the more direct way with the winter shelter gone and the weather still pretty damn cold and pretty damn wet, and also criminalization. I mean, to be without shelter is bad enough, but to be criminalized on top of that is a sort of an extra slap across the chops, an extra human rights violation, and one that we have been trying to deal with here in Santa Cruz and that we will continue to try to deal with. And we're going to be talking more about that as we go. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host. I'm Bathrob Spear Robert. This is your show, and as I constantly repeat, we have room for you. So give a call to 427-3772, 427-3772, and we'll do some talking about this.
Been well my life. Call me a farmer and not a farmer's wife. The plow and hoe left their patterns on my hand, and now they tell me this is not my land. We raised two children and they are farmers too. Crop and garden every year we grew. 200 acres ain't no easy haul, but it's a good life, no regrets at all. When Joe turned 50, his back was acting up. We three took over so's he could rest up. My Joe was buried where his daddy lies, and soon some men came asking for my prize. I said, I live here and here I'm gonna stay. What makes you think I wanna move away? They smiled real sly, said, now your farmer's dead. The farm ain't yours till you pay the overhead. I know we women, we ain't been in the know, but we're no fools as far as farming goes. The crop don't know no woman's work on man's. There ain't no law can take me from my land. 'Cause I'm a farmer, I've been one all my life. Call me a farmer and not a farmer's wife. The plow and hoe left their patterns on my hand. No one can tell me this is not my land. Thank you.
Okay, it's March 30th, 1999, at 11:35 at the Polar Bear. We're talking to
Carrie.
And Carrie, you're just back from Watsonville. You've been cleaning houses, and you're actually, are you without a house at the moment?
Nope, I have a job now where it includes living in, and so I have my own bedroom, and I work for a man cleaning his home and taking care of him, caretaking, and for that I have a very nice room. It's wonderful because I've been on the street, and I hated it, and now I shower 4 or 5 times a day.
And you look pretty darn clean. The last time we talked, you were seeking change at Pacific and, I don't know, Cooper Streets thereabouts. And you really gave us a very articulate and heart-wrenching picture of what it's like to be in that kind of a situation, particularly as a single woman. Are you no longer doing that kind of work?
I still find times when I have court fees, which always get me down, I'm still working on that, that I might have to step down there and work a little bit on the street asking for help to pay bills. Only to pay court costs. They're outrageous, and I don't make money, so until I started cleaning houses and it really picks up, I'm going to have to step down there often, you know, maybe 2 or 3 times a month still to get help till I can get on my feet completely financially.
When was the last time you did spare changing?
This last Saturday.
And give us some idea. Has there been a change in the seasons? Has there been a change in the way police are treating people? What's the story down there?
Actually, the police and the downtown hosts seem to totally ignore us. The same people down there asking for help, and I noticed that the people that walk by on the street are very cold. They're tired. They're tired of helping people.
Sort of compassion fatigue?
I believe that would be a perfect way to say it.
And you were able to get some kind of job yourself through the kinds of interviews that you got both from me and I guess a television station picked up your situation?
Yes, Channel 46, and then right after that you interviewed me, and I never got to see or hear the interviews, but I had many people come up to me on the street telling me that they believed in me, helping me out, giving me names of people to check out for cleaning. And from there, I ended up in a home where I'm now sheltered with plenty of food, no money, but plenty of food, and now cleaning houses, several houses a week.
And are you still looking for work? Do you want people to contact you at some contact number or?
Sure, I'll give you my voicemail number. This is wonderful. And this is a wonderful gift from the Community Resource Center. They gave me 8 free months of voicemail, and that made my life change. It gave me jobs. And the number's 457-9754, and I have a box. It's 675 for Carrie.
So call 457-9754, box
675.
Box 675, and tell Carrie if you have any work for her. She cleans houses, any other kind of job you're thinking of?
I also do yard work and laundry. So.
And what do you charge?
I charge $10 an hour, or if I'm doing laundry, I do 90 cents a pound.
So there you have it. Carrie, anything you want to add? I know you're on the run. You came puffing in from Watsonville about 10 minutes ago. Or any general thoughts? You know about this controversy around the sleeping ban and the city's refusal to make substantive changes, instead of kind of a cosmetic change, lowering the fine and letting you sleep in a vehicle for 3 days a month in somebody's driveway with their permission. What's your reaction to that?
We've got to make a change. Most people aren't as lucky as I am. Some people are really down and outers, and they've been down and out a long time. I'm sure they'd be on their feet by now if they had a place to shower or a place to go to the bathroom without getting in trouble, especially a place to sleep. It's expensive. It keeps us down. It keeps us in jail. I'm tired of it. I'm a taxpayer from the past, and I'm tired of paying money for the jail time. I'd much rather see these people making it by having facilities. So it's got to change. I'm 100% for change. I just don't know how we're going to get the stubborn people who change the laws. You know, how are we going to get them? Attack them. We've got to attack their brains somehow to make them realize how ugly it is. It's really ugly. I just drove by 41st Street. Kmart there, and you should see the homies, the Mexicans, standing in line to get picked up for work. It is sad. I mean, they are everywhere. A lot of them have houses, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them live in the river, and it's got to change. It's got to change. They got to have a place to go. All of us. Sick.